Go ahead and start the show, and then you guys...
All right, okay, rock and roll. Whatever.
Hey, this is Engineer Eric. You're listening to our January 13th, 2011 Jimmy Doan Show.
Doan. James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James.
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Drink.
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah.
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
We're back.
Hey!
2011!
We've busted
first
the
time
of the year.
Barrier!
January 13th.
First one, yeah.
2011.
Yep, Friday the 13th comes on a Thursday.
We've got the mojo
week.
Working, this Jimmy Doan.
And Jack Rhodes is here.
Jack is here. Is he here? Right. Is he somewhere?
Yeah, he's good.
Somewhere is he is here.
So it's the Jack Rhodes Show. And then Counselor Curtis.
Sam, I am.
That's it. Engineer.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Green Eggs and Ham. That's right. And yours truly, Jimmy Doan.
Jimmy Doan.
So, well, not much has been happening the last month or two.
Nothing.
Nothing going on. Absolutely
nothing. I don't know.
Do we have a president? I don't know.
Well, apparently after today's, the Gabrielle speech that he got. I guess they're going to have the Gabrielle law here pretty soon.
Oh, sure.
You know, the shooting. Now, the shooting, interestingly enough, so much has been said about it. By the time this gets on the air,
the shooting,
Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, right.
Right. The
softball and sound effect.
Jared Laughlin, whatever it is, went out there and blasted about, I don't know, he apparently shot off 19 rounds, and I thought he had a Glock. They don't hold that much, do they? What was the
some of them do.
They hold a lot.
But he reloaded.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said it only took 8 seconds to shoot it all off, or so they were, I don't know how they...
Multiple weapons?
I think he was reloading the second time when the two guys jumped him.
I thought he was running away.
No.
They tackled him.
No, I think he was putting the clips in his freaking...
So it was 6 killed, unfortunately.
6 killed and, I don't know, there was another dozen or so injured.
Right.
And of course, the news reports all were on this Gabrielle. What's her face?
Gabrielle Giffords.
Yeah, right. And then a little bit, and then a footnote, and a little small print on the judge.
Right.
And
the federal judge.
And then the same size print on the little 9-year-old girl because she happened to have been born on 9/11.
Catherine Green.
She was born on 9/11.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Born
something
on
like
9/11.
That.
Oh, we got fans calling in already.
Oh God, I can't. Yes.
Oh, that's the red phone. Don't answer it.
Yeah.
I meant to unplug it. I'm sorry.
So Catherine Green coming
just
in.
Just unplug it.
It's
just Barack Obama.
No.
Barack's calling about the speech
the
last night.
Look, they're calling to shut the show down right now.
Hey, off
the
air.
Don't pick it up.
Because we're getting into hate speech.
Well, we are. Well,
that's
where we were headed.
Well, right. Let me tell you.
It's a good thing you didn't play the Star Wars intro, which very clearly, metaphorically, in a removed... third party way advocates
violence
against the fictional empire.
Yeah, let's not get
using fictional weapons.
Hey, no free speech here, guys.
I'm just trying to be specific here.
Well, let me just tell you
this one, of course.
As you know, right after the thing, of course, the sheriff, the Nobel Prize winner laureate Krugman, Ed of the Ed Show. And about a half a dozen other of the liberal people said, oh, well, this is obviously what caused this guy to go nuts was the right-wing talk radio.
Right.
Oh, right, wrong.
Yeah, no, it's Rush Limbaugh and all Hannity and those
Michael
people.
Savage.
Savage.
His name is Savage.
Right, well, he's a loon anyway.
So it's their fault that they coaxed him into it.
Oh, that sounds like hate speech to me, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a loon.
That's it.
So
anyway...
They came out
en masse and saying it was the right wingers that caused this guy to go nuts. You know, kind of like the old video games caused me to kill him or whatever.
Sure.
Twinkie defense.
And of course, the right wingers went out and bought a whole bunch of more guns
right.
in Arizona.
Right. Well, the other thing was that didn't gain much traction. That lasted about 2 or 3 days, and now, of course, they're on gun control.
Well, of course, you know why it didn't gain traction, because number one, he was a registered independent, and number two, he didn't even vote in the 2010 in this last election.
And number three, on his website or whatever, he's a Marxist.
Marxist, exactly.
I mean, you know, he's all for... Now, they
so
said
he voted for the president, you mean, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, ba-dum-bump.
That's right. But, I mean, the point is that the people, it was interesting to see somebody like Krugman, who's, unfortunately, I don't know what's happened, he's a brain fart or something.
He's a total commie. And,
well, I know.
Because he won the freaking Nobel Prize.
People listen to him.
Well, and not only that, but he's totally invested in it now.
Yeah.
He's
like Al Gore and the
Yeah,
Greens,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Come out and say,
so he liked the speech. He thought it was a pretty good speech.
No. We're talking about he blamed the shooting on the right winger's hate speech.
Right, okay.
This guy was revved up. So by hate speech on the radio and so forth.
Got it.
Of course, his friends say he never listens to radio, never watches TV. You know. So anyway,
he's listening to the Jimmy Doan show.
So anyway, of course, it also turns out that he's been kicked out of a mental institution because he was too unstable.
Whoops.
I mean, he was kicked out of some school that was for troubled something or another, and they said we can't even handle it. Huh?
I think it was just community college. But
whatever. The point is that it's been well known for at least a year that we're talking about somebody who is not all there at all. That's and parents knew.
He volunteered
teachers,
at the local kennel.
Local kennel.
As what? A dog killer or what?
No. Like to, take care of the dogs and stuff.
Okay, so.
Very few people really go do that, Volunteer.
I just heard this afternoon, and I haven't, of course, no big R on this, but I heard that there was apparently some...
Jack, from you?
No research. I know. Hard to believe. So, I heard he has some kind of rap sheet that Mr. Pima County is
not
releasing.
No, it's nothing. No,
there's nothing?
No, he's got nothing on there. They've been to his house 6 times or something, and it's for shit like, somebody stole their freaking tag off of their car, and, a noise being too loud or something. I mean, it's nothing. It's chumpy stuff.
Okay, well, anyway, the bottom line is that, as I say, that particular thing didn't gain traction, so they quickly switched over to gun control. And they want to... There's a guy named Brady, interestingly enough.
It's not the same Brady.
No, it's not the same Brady. This is a guy in Congress wants to pass a new law that says you can't go within 1,000 feet of a federal official.
Of 1,000 feet?
1,000 feet of a federal official with a gun.
License or not?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And however, they're going to exclude.
How are you going to shoot them from out?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're going to have a lot more target practice. No, apparently the bodyguards are excluded from this. If you're a bodyguard, you're allowed to get close to them. But the thing is, as somebody said, for 1,000 feet, half the time you won't even know if you're near a federal official. I mean, what are you talking about, a Social Security person?
Oh, but that's okay. You deem to have known.
Right. Anyway, this is the kind of lunacy they're talking about. And then they want to, the other thing is that they want to do is to, they're starting to work on the...
Don't they realize that if more people had been armed at that thing, that probably more people's lives would have been saved?
Well, yeah, but I mean, exactly.
I mean, if any of those officials had their freaking gun, I mean, she owned a gun.
Yeah, no, she's a gun. She actually, even though she's a Democrat ex-Republican...
She wasn't packing.
She wasn't packing. She was endorsed by the NRA because she's a gun toter.
Right.
I mean, Arizona.
Apparently not.
No, they showed her. They have pictures of her with an AR-15 or something.
She doesn't carry CCW.
Right, right.
Huh?
She doesn't have the permit. She's not carrying that day.
Oh, well, I don't know. In Arizona, do you need it?
Oh, no, yeah, because one of the guys that took him down was a card-carrying member. But he didn't withdraw. He didn't draw his firearm. They wrestled the guy to the ground.
Oh, okay.
Two guys wrestling to the ground.
Well, they're calling one of those guys a hero. But I mean, my point is this: that part of the point is this: is that on that same day there were I don't know how many people were blown up in Afghanistan. We lost half a dozen guys over there. There must have been probably 200 or 300 homicides around the country.
Right, but this was the children, Jimmy.
What? No, yeah,
the little girl born on 9/11.
Born on
9/11. Came in with a tragedy and out on a tragedy.
There you go.
I mean, that's big news.
Bookend.
Jack needs to get a freaking.
Well, anyway, the point is that they
look. The point is, I mean, what makes it a little different is that it's an attack on the officials. It's a blatant attack. Right. It's a suicide attack.
It was an assassination. I mean,
right.
That's what it was.
Right. And with, I mean, we're talking, I mean, that's
but we've
rare.
Had those before.
But not
in a long time.
Yeah.
Not a long
no,
time.
No, not often, but I mean, okay. We've had.
It's different
know,
than some Jose going down and collecting his money from Tyrone. And they're being, you're talking about the other murders.
No, well,
most of the
that,
murders
there were a
are
lot of
Tyrone
my,
collecting his money from.
I understand that part. But my point also is, though, that we've had, you know, McKinley was assassinated and Garfield and Kennedy, and they didn't pass all these laws. Well, you know, they didn't suddenly decide as Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Brady now has decided, reportedly plans to introduce legislation that would make it a federal crime to use language or symbols that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a federal official or a member of Congress.
Well, Jimmy, these leaders are clearly more intelligent than any of the ones.
Well, they're
in the
more
past.
They're more important too.
Absolutely, that's why
I mean, they have to be protected.
No, like, I mean,
it's going to be called the Giffords Law.
It's amazing right. to me that they just continue to do it.
I guess they already have the Brady Law.
Right. So this is right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, he came Brady
right.
2, you know.
No,
2.0.
You know, that's what it'll be. Yeah,
what would we do without them? Thank goodness they're leading the way with these new laws. That's
well,
just
I mean, it, of course it won't do anything and the but
no, of course
my
it
point,
won't.
My,
you know what it'll do? It'll
uh-huh?
give, look what they intend to do. I mean, this is not a conspiracy theory or anything. The people in power always want to extend their power and well, all you do is you just create little spheres of influence that are, like you said, 1,000 feet. Here you go with 1,000 feet. What that means? You know what that means? That means anybody within 1,000 feet has no Fourth Amendment rights. That's what that means. That means
or Second Amendment.
Or Second Amendment.
Right.
Yeah.
But no Fourth Amendment in particular. That means they can shake you down if you're 980 feet away.
Yeah.
On two blocks over, and
how dare you?
And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. And
well, you can shoot them.
Yeah.
If the guy comes over to shake you down, you can blast him.
Blast him. Well, not if they're
federal. No, well, they're talking about what I think about is interesting about when they talk about hate speech, or not hate speech, but the language or symbols that could be perceived as threatening.
That could be perceived.
Yeah. Gee, now, somebody ought to do something about that government. Like, they're out of control.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Do something?
No.
What are you talking about? Shoot people? Oh, okay, you're going to jail.
Well, no. Well, absolutely. I mean, that's all that's that freaking Caesar said.
You could quote Thomas Jefferson. You could quote Thomas Jefferson. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Oh, that sounds like treasonous.
Treason to me.
Tyrannical terrorist speech. Yeah.
Sounds like you're raising arms there. Let's call to arms.
Do you have the quote from Brutus?
Et tu
Brute?
No. That's the quote from Caesar. The quote
right.
from Brutus is the one where he says somebody ought to do something about Caesar.
Oh well, of course there was the one that
somebody.
Wasn't the one that wasn't that what John Wilkes Booth said, "Sic temper tyrannis" or whatever it is.
Oh, maybe so.
That was it. Yeah. So, thus to tyrants.
Yes. Well, no, that's what he said, like right before he kills him, I think maybe. But yeah, but the idea was is that he, you know, Brutus talks the guys into going to kill Caesar by
right.
just kind of talking offhandedly about that somebody ought to take care of something.
Do
take
something.
A deep breath and relax.
Exactly. And I mean, look. Here's the thing: you cannot start instituting these third party crimes.
They've already done it.
Well, what I mean is that even our justices ought to start throwing this stuff out. But I noticed that Hagan. Has already commented in a way that she feels like they need more laws in on this kind of stuff.
Unbelievable.
That was his worst mistake yet.
And so far, just wait to
haunt him for decades.
Well,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
I don't think so.
I think
that she's going to rule on the kind of stuff he likes.
Oh, well, for him, yeah, but for us, we're saying.
No, because she will be all over the place
well,
before
I don't
it's
think
all
so
over.
Right. She's
going to
be like your friend.
Yeah, man, she will rule like Obama's going to be like, what the? Even
say.
He will be like, yeah. And
but I thought we were going to say.
But no, I mean, she'll rule a lot of his stuff for a while, but I mean, that one can't be.
Then her neck is going to take over.
Something.
I want to make a note about two things. One, Michelle Malkin had a column in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, you can get it on the town hall. She really nailed it as far as what was going on here. And the other one that I really liked is we've talked about Stefan Molyneux and the Free Domain Radio, whatever. He had a video or whatever it was, pretty lengthy one about this. And boy, he really nailed it on what these guys were, what was really going on here. I mean, what the underlying thing of all this shooting business and everything, and what people were really caring about. Of course, I thought it was...
Which was what?
And that is?
You have to go watch the video, because
Jimmy, come on, Jimmy.
I didn't. All right, wait, edit it in, and we'll put a link to it.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, we'll put a link to it. I'm sorry. The damn thing, as I recall, it's an interview with another podcaster, and... He goes.
Oh, we'll put a link.
Anyway, it was good. But the,
Jimmy, man.
But the, I'm sorry. Okay, shoot me.
Shoot him.
Anyway.
Right now, the publicist runs in and beats him with a tennis racket. You know? Yeah. It's been promoted in 7 magazines. What was it that he said that was so important? Nah, I forget, really. I wasn't really reading that. When I was doing something
Google
else.
It, while
I,
no,
he had
I was listening to a nice song when I was reading that article. And...
All right, well, let me just think here for a second. What was the underlying...
It's okay.
By
Jimmy.
Now, people have already clicked the link, and they see what it's all about. You know?
There it is.
Okay. Now, before we exit this, speaking of speech, this is one thing that we exit this particular subject. This was sent to us by Councillor Bart.
Councillor Bart.
Our Washington, D.C.
Don't we have sound effects for... Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Big shout out to Councillor Bart.
Anyway, Coach put on leave for challenging Obama. An Ultimate Fighting Championship fighter has been placed on administrative leave from his job at a Minnesota high school after he insulted President Obama's intelligence and challenged the commander-in-chief to a fight.
What'd you talk about, Willis?
Right.
Jacob Volkman told Fox News Radio that he's under investigation by White Bear Lake High School, where he's worked part-time assistant wrestling coach for 3 years. They didn't like how I was representing the school, he said. The school district director of communications, Marisa Vette, or whatever, interesting, confirmed to Fox News Radio that he was on paid leave. She refused to say if the comments about President Obama sparked the investigation. Yeah, right.
Know what happened.
No comment. Wait a minute. Let me just finish this. Volkman's comments came during New Year's Day interview after he'd won a fight. A reporter asked who Volkman would like to find next, and he said, Obama.
Right.
He's not too bright. Someone's got to knock some sense into that idiot.
Whoa.
The comment prompted a visit by the U.S. Secret Service after they received several calls accusing the fighter of threatening the president.
Right. Sir, please step outside.
No, they did. That's exactly what they did.
That's right.
Wow.
They came to practice, and they freaking brought him outside, and they said, and he's like,
And that's why we broadcast here from Alaska.
The men in black.
We're far away from anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Later,
don't give away our location.
So then he apologized. Apparently later he apologized. He said, the only regret, I didn't mean to call him an idiot. I don't think he's an idiot, but I do think he's making a lot of mistakes. He was not arrested and was not charged. But he was basically put on administrative leave. Yeah, they loosed Jared on him.
They broke a couple of legs.
He can no longer be found, and he hasn't returned to
He was put on administrative leave. So he
was allowed to fight a couple of their guys in a bare knuckle brawl.
He's a UFC.
In the Coliseum.
He's actually a badass fighter.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine? Threat. Here's Obama's in Tucson giving a speech. This guy's in Minnesota or wherever it was.
Right.
And
Minnesota, don't you know?
And that's right. And the Secret Service shows up and
it's an illustration of the breadth of the power and the freaking institution of protection that is surrounding the president. I mean, here they were in a situation where they knew, no question about it, this guy had nothing on the president. And still, this freaking Secret Service shows up and asks him a few questions, you know? And, I mean, you know, just to make sure.
Send a message to everybody out there.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Send a message to everybody.
I think they were just following protocol. They were just doing it.
No one
is stupid protocol.
Well, that's my point. But it's still in place, and it's huge. If it's big enough to reach something that stupid,
right?
Think about,
can they reach us?
No, is that a trick question? My whole point is that's my point is that here's a guy who, I mean, by every account, it wasn't a joke, but it wasn't a serious threat.
Tongue in cheek,
as they say, exactly, hyperbole. Okay,
kind of like the Jimmy Don show.
Exactly. You would think they would get it. It's a metaphor, Mr.
President.
Secret Service person. with a gun and a baton. Yeah, yeah.
G-Man.
Metaphor
the original G-Man.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the whole point, is that the system is in place, man. I mean, if it's a good thing that...
Oh, the system's in place.
They know who you are, Jimmy.
Step over here, Jimmy.
That's right.
All right, moving on.
Moving along.
Yeah. We can go to the
dovetailing
debt ceiling.
Debt ceiling. Have we talked about that before, Jimmy?
We have talked about it a lot.
but since we did, a lot of other people have been talking about it.
Has been since the first of the year. It's amazing. I have really seen almost everybody now in every show, every Sunday morning show, whatever, except for this last Sunday was all about the shooting. Which is nothing, is not even a pimple on the problem when you come up against this debt ceiling.
Well, like I always said, always ahead of the curve here at the Jimmy Dolan.
No, we talked about this. We started really
three months ago.
It was October. Yeah.
And it was like 2 weeks later that somebody else I saw started
ramping it up.
Yeah. Right. But they really ramped it up after the first year with the new Congress because the Tea Party
is coming to a head.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they like it or not. Well, it'll be interesting to see. What they do, and of course they're gonna increase it, which is a joke. But I did pull off this one comment that was really good. I want to read this. This is a fellow that wrote in with this comment about the debt ceiling. I'm having trouble making payments on a car, for which I still owe $10,000. Borrowing another $1,000 won't help me for long. Eventually, I must pay off both the car and the supplemental loan. On the other hand, declining to borrow the extra money won't automatically force me into default on the car loan. I can cut off my cable service or clip coupons or get a second job. The national debt differs only in scale. Raising the debt ceiling to $15 trillion and then $16 and then $20 won't do any good. Our great-grandchildren will have to pay off whatever debt we incur. And failing to raise the debt ceiling won't precipitate default if the federal government changes its spending habits. The federal government may have to end subsidies to NPR to pay interest on the outstanding debt. But the taxpayers have been making, and this is one of the keys, the taxpayers have been making hard financial choices all along. And that's, the unemployment, people losing their 401ks, the investments going down and everything.
Well, Illinois.
We've already got it. We're already getting this stuff. By pretending doom if it can't borrow more, the Obama administration has told everyone, in effect, that it refuses to change a thing. It will carry on spending more and more on whatever it pleases, no matter whether it destroys the country. And what he goes on, the final paragraph is here, and he's right, the federal government has no self-discipline. It spends more when revenues increase, as it did during the Reagan-Bush years. It spends more when revenues are flat, and it spends more when revenues fall. It spends more than it can keep track of. It spends more than it can spend.
Well, you realize, Jimmy, that they all believe that spending stimulates the economy.
Absolutely. In spite of the empirical evidence that it doesn't.
Well, in spite of the empirical evidence that it doesn't help your personal economy.
Not by a long shot, because where do you think they're getting the money from? Well, they're going to be getting it from our grandchildren.
But in the general economy, people think, well, the money comes from somebody else. They don't think it comes from taxes, which, of course, Illinois learned its lesson.
Yeah, well, you saw where they raised the headline was,
That was
Illinois,
a joke.
Illinois raises taxes 75%. Well, no, not quite. What they did is they increased the income tax by 75% from about 3% to 4.5%.
I totally read it the other way, too.
Yeah, no.
I thought they increased their income tax rate up to 66%.
Right.
And I was like, holy crap in Batman. Yeah. They're doubling or, tripling. But actually, that would have been a multiple increase.
Right. No. The fact is,
Illinois only has a 3%.
Right. And then now it's 5 or whatever it is. I mean,
still going to be a huge hit.
No. Especially for wealthy people. And what they're going to find out is that I'll bet you there'll be an exodus out of Illinois.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. This is.
And did you see Vermont did the opposite? Vermont lowered taxes.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the and their governor came out and said, come on in. We're open for business.
Really?
Yep.
That's because, you know, Vermont is kind of Ben and Jerry socialist country.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm kind of surprised at that.
Hey, man, maybe the dude's learned his lesson. You know, they've got 50 states out there. That's one of the great things about the United States. Everybody, every governor can try their own little fix, you know?
Well, of course, you say that, you know, so one of the things, it's interesting you say that, and that's true up to a point. It used to be a lot more true.
Right, right.
But now with all the federal laws and federal tracking.
And federal spending.
And federal spending, you can't get away with it. And for instance, locally here, what's funny, you see these people, the way they close the budget gap is they say, well, we'll go get a grant. From what? Well, we have a grant writer here on the staff.
Oh, yeah.
And what she does is she pours through the Federal Register.
I remember the first time I heard that grant writing was like a degree.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, you're a professional beggar.
Yeah. No, right. You get paid for begging.
Right.
I mean, it's like paying the guy that rings the bell at the little kettle, you know, $100 an hour.
No, it's like paying the guy who passes around the freaking collection bowl at the church.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm just going to pass this around and, you know, I'm just going to take a little of this out of here.
Not only that, but I mean, but you understand that his motivation now is to make sure that his wages get paid. So, you know, if he sees somebody put a dollar in there, he's going to shake the little bucket a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you doing? Give me the old stink eye. You know, you didn't put enough in there, but
exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It just seems to me that the economy is so macro, though, at this stage, that it's like, I mean, if they start printing money, how does it get disseminated into us, and how does it actually cause?
We don't. The whole point is we don't really know.
Right.
I'll tell you exactly how it happens.
I mean, everybody around here is hypnotized to believe that $4.25.
They print the money.
Right.
They make they go into the computer and they make an adjustment on the account of the number that all the banks or a bunch of major banks, they pick out whoever their buddies are, the people in the circle, and they say, okay, you've got an extra billion, you've got an extra billion, you're gonna
spend.
And then if they need the actual cash, they will literally physically print the freaking pallet up and wheel it over to them and stick it in their vault, and then they bust it out like new. Candy.
The problem is they're not busting it out.
No, of course.
They are keeping it in the vault as a reserve.
Of course, because they know what's coming.
They know what's coming, right. And that's, this is the old, lead a horse to water thing.
No, this was like the biggest bait and switch in history. I don't know about
a switch, but it certainly was a bait.
Well, unless they were in collusion with it, which they easily could have been, this was the, give us a whole bunch of money, and we will go ahead and put it back into circulation, blah, 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 you know, we'll correct everybody's loans.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's house loans.
Take care,
bail out all the little businesses, you know, we'll take care of everybody. And instead, they said, all right, guys, they gave us the money. You're not going to believe this. Yeah. Boardroom. Everybody into the boardroom. And then they went in there champagne. Yeah, exactly.
And they just kept the money. Right.
Exactly.
Toga. Yeah. Well, they were worried. I mean, fact is, on a fractional reserve system, the simple fact is they were way over leveraged. And this way, they got their leverage back, so to speak.
But they couldn't loan it out again.
They're not going to because they're panic stricken that if they do loan it out, that the loan will go bad. Well, as I say, I personally just went over and bought a beat up old used car the other day, and I went in to get a signature loan from my credit union, and they said, my credit rating's good and everything like that. Wasn't that much money? I have almost that much money in the savings account over there, and they said, no, we want the car as collateral. I said, but it's an old car, and you don't loan on cars that old with that high a mileage. And they said, we do now.
We'll take it. You got a horse?
You got a horse. We have to have, if Bill Gates walked in here.
Is it over 100,000 miles?
Yeah.
No, they want.
And it's over 10 years.
They want, the banks
they're panic-stricken.
Are in trouble.
And so Bill Gates could walk in there and say, I want, you know, $5,000. They say, leave your watch.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take that.
Yeah, we'll take that as collateral. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter. And then that's how scared they are. And the what's funny about this is that the debt ceiling is going to go up.
It's going to get so much worse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. As this guy pointed out, I mean, the simple fact is they're going to keep on doing this. And the only restraint on federal spending, short of an armed rebellion, which of course you're not allowed to even talk about that anymore. We'll call that the AR.
AR-15.
The AR-15 is the debt ceiling, which, thank God, doesn't go up automatically. It's long past time to use it and so forth.
God, how did they ever get it so that it didn't go up automatically?
Interesting you should mention that. One of my favorite columnists or pundits or whatever is George Will. But he screwed up this last week. He wrote a column and he said, no other country in the world has a debt ceiling. I'm thinking, so what? No other country in the world has a lot of things that we've got here.
But here's another deal. We have not had hyperinflation in this country that I can...
We never have.
Right.
Well, I take it back. We did have temporary hyperinflation during the revolution, right after the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nobody around here right now,
no,
like, remembers that.
Okay, right. But we...
Jimmy.
Except for Jimmy. Right. Well, that's why he's the host and you're not. But
wisdom of the ages.
Right. But what
we're talking about the other AR, the American Revolution.
Right. And again, when Plato got shot or whatever, and Pythagoras.
Right. Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates. Yeah, they all went
Hemlock.
Down. Yeah, Hemlock. Right.
Sure. So great.
Hemlock scared.
So great. Yeah.
You know, right. Anyway, what I'm talking about here is that... this country is so large that I find it hard to believe that we could have a hyperinflation just due to the fact that, if somebody walks into the store one day and the bread's $1.19 and they walk into the store the next day and the bread's $2.19, okay, they might say, well, that's a big increase. What the heck's wrong with that? And also the next day it's, $4.19.
Right.
And then they're going, okay, wait a minute.
Sounds like gasoline.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what's going to happen again in the next 6 months.
Well, I mean, maybe so, but it's like, but in other words, like all prices, kind of like are reflect on human wages and saying, well, I'm raising your pigs and selling them to you in the slaughterhouse.
Well, no, here, let me
my bread.
Jimmy, you want to take this one or do you want?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Go ahead.
The deal is, of course, I did live through an inflation, mm-hmm. which was from about 1978 through 1980. And I remember specifically going in to buy something on a Friday, and on Monday the price went up by $100 on a washing machine. And stuff was going up dramatically. It wasn't hyperinflation. But
on a long-term curve, has it really changed?
Oh, well, here, on a long-term curve, since 1913, the dollar's depreciated by about 98%.
Right, but it's been steady.
Well, no, it's sort of steady, but it's been up and down. But it is sort of accelerating. Like today, for instance, mm-hmm. the numbers came out, it was really funny, and they said, well, inflation, we feel good about inflation. The numbers indicate that other than food and energy, things are pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I saw that, too.
And I'm going, like food and energy is where it's at.
Right. No, seriously.
That's gas and what I eat. Right. Hello.
No, that's what everybody uses.
I think Bart and I could also maybe throw a couple extra things in
there. Seriously, food and energy, I saw that. And you think about it. What do poor people buy?
Food and energy.
I mean, seriously, there's nothing else.
No, there is nothing else.
In other words, that's what they're locking in.
So if you want to get rid of the poor people...
Well, we've always
really
said...
Really raise the rates of
food.
Well,
we've always said you should have regressive income tax.
Have you noticed
that? Is, if you make under $10,000...
100% tax.
100% tax. And then as it goes up to a millionaire, you get down to 1%.
Right.
Yeah. That way you eliminate poor people right away.
Lots of millionaires going up.
And then we have a debtor's prison.
Well, no, I don't believe in that. I think you're just on your own, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You're lined up along the highway.
I'm thinking that the way to Mexico might be reversed, so to speak.
What I've heard is there's a trillion actual dollars floating around out there.
You mean actual cash money?
Right.
Okay, well, of course...
There's probably a trillion dollars.
No, you do know that there's actually more cash, the greenbacks, in circulation outside this country than in it.
Yeah, I thought it was about even.
Wait a second, I have $50 trillion right in my hand.
Those are Zimbabwe's.
Oh.
You can have that.
Oh.
And,
man, I can't. Not worth it.
It's actually good.
Double cheeseburger?
That's
no, I got it.
Don't you wish?
What do you get? Double cheeseburger for it?
No, double cheeseburger. Not even close.
No, that's worth about 3 cents.
Yeah, if that.
Double bubble.
Double bubble.
3 cents? I thought it was for a couple bucks. The shipping charge.
The shipping charge, yeah. It literally cost, I got 10 of those, what are they, 50 trillion?
50 trillion.
And 50 I got 10 trillion. Of them. It's actual real life currency from Zimbabwe, and it costs more to ship it than it did the
All right, so you're going to say there's more.
So
they just
changed the number. The Fed just announced they were going to print another $600 billion.
Right. Apparently, there's a little blowback on that.
Well, yeah, there has been. But
surprisingly.
If you think about it, I mean, if you're in cash at all, I mean, they're going to devalue your cash by, what is that, 40% or something?
No, that is on the total money supply, including the credit stuff.
Hell, you're
including the credit stuff.
And actually, they're not going to print, that $600 billion
right.
is not actually pieces of paper. That is a notation in the ledger.
Moving the decimal point.
Yeah, exactly. But, that's all it is. And as far as M1 or M2 or whatever that is, that's the numbers that matter, not the actual physical cash. Well, most of the transactions are not cash transactions.
Right, but here's the thing: whatever denomination that the $600 billion are in,
yeah, it's
electronic it's like, credits or whatever it is.
Yeah,
or, okay,
value it's goes, like 10% maybe or something.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, it's 5 or 10%
okay,
or something.
So still 10%. That's a huge number.
It is.
If you're an investor and somebody says, "Hey, by the way." You lost 10% this
weekend. That is why. Look, it is well known that one thing governments love is inflation because it is a way of stealing. It's a stealth tax. Everybody knows this.
Right.
It is a way to get money that you don't have to, quote, raise taxes to do it. And that was one of the reasons why in the 70s, for instance, when the inflation was actually visible to enough people. The definition between hyperinflation and just regular inflation somewhere is around 10 to 15%. Once you get over about 15 or 20% annually, inflation, they call that hyperinflation, and then it can accelerate
from there.
And then
there's runaway.
Well, that's the same thing.
Let me ask you one question. When you saw that change from 78 to 80 or whatever, $1,000 for the thing, what did the market do?
The market, good question. Well, I'll tell you what did happen is that silver and gold went through the ceiling.
Okay.
And as people bailed out of currency. And they said, you know, this is crazy. I need to preserve my wealth. Right. And that's when silver went to $50. Now, that was a little bit hokey because the Hunt brothers had bid it up, but it still went to 25 anyway, really. Mm-hmm. And gold went to $800.
Right.
As people desperately tried to, you know, they bid the price up and everything. This is off of, remember now.
What corrected it eventually?
Volcker came in with Reagan. He'd been appointed by Jimmy Carter, but Reagan kept him on. And he put the clamps on the money supply.
They cut the crap out of the taxes.
He cut taxes, number one, but the main thing he did was he didn't print any more money. He just said, that's it, there is no more here. We're going to not print any more money.
And we had a recession.
And we had a recession for 2 years to wring out the inflation, and the interest rates, the regular interest rates dropped from anywhere from 13 to 20% down to around 6 and 5, and of course then,
Since Obama filed that exact since he did the opposite.
Yeah. See, the guys that are in there now are really the
opposite world.
Yeah, that's right. The guys that are in there now are believing they don't understand the difference, or maybe they do, but there's something else wrong with their heads because there's, as we talked about before, there's only two kinds of money. There's money you save, which is future gratification, and current. Gratification.
Money you spend.
Money you spend today. Well, the money you spend today is exactly, you know, one-to-one correspondent with the amount of goods today. If you try and pump in some of your savings money, you know, you take that out of savings, and you spend it today, the problem is that the prices have to go up because a number of goods cannot change instantaneously.
Yeah, but they're going to change the gravitational constant of the moon
that
in between
could be.
Now and
well,
then.
If you put, I found out that if you do...
Cats and dogs living together.
If you, put a warp field around the entire world,
See, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy, put the bomb down. Put the bomb down.
Look, Jimmy, the president knows things.
Yeah, right. He knows things.
The president
knows.
He's
smarter. They're all smarter than we are.
Right, right. Well, and they have information that we don't have.
Information we don't have.
Right.
In spite of WikiLeaks.
Right.
So,
in spite of the fact that whatever information is out there, you can guess.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't take much.
No.
They know. They've seen the aliens.
All right. So, we're in trouble. Debt ceiling. Have we covered that one?
So anyway, the bottom line is that the Tea Parties, a lot of the Tea Parties ran on the thing of, of saying we're not going to send it up. And, of course, the question is this. Is there going to be some kind... They're going to raise the debt ceiling. And a lot of the... Even the people that said they would vote against it no matter what are coming back and saying, well, wait a minute, tell you what. If I get enough concessions...
We got to work with them, you know.
Well, if I get enough concessions, which means do I get a new road, whatever it is, or number one, or do I get some spending? Well, of course, they're talking about... what's his name? Boner or whatever his name is came out and said...
Wiener.
He came out and said, you know, the part of our contract on America is that we want to cut $100 billion.
Contract on America.
And, you know, we're going to cut $100 billion. Well, now they're coming off of that, number one. Number two... $100 billion ain't it.
No, they
would have to cut about $400 billion just to get even.
It doesn't.
They need to cut like a couple trillion to even.
They have to attack the big programs.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can change.
60% of the budget
which is right.
60% of the budget is made up of three things.
Three programs.
Defense, Medicare
and Social Security.
And Social Security.
Yeah, that's 60%.
And without cutting all of those by like 50%,
right?
We're doomed.
Right.
And or, doomed with a capital doom.
Yeah.
Doomed.
And so that's you're anyway. The point is
exactly.
So what they're going to do is obviously is all these guys want to stay in office, and even if they cut $100 billion, we're still on the path on the road to ruin, to perdition,
scare tactics.
Yeah, done. No, we are. It's done. And that's why.
No, like if they cut a billion.
By the way, listeners, it is not too late to buy gold.
No, it is not.
It's really
not. It is not too late to buy gold.
And it's a perfect opportunity.
We're all in it together.
To buy your sweetie gold jewelry and stuff for Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Right, like a big 1 cubic foot gold block.
Right, that hangs around her neck.
Right, do you smell that? Do you smell that?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah, no.
Of course, the question is, and I was listening to, I was watching, reading Gary North. There's another guy that I really like. He's on Lou Rockwell. But he's talking about maybe, there's no question in his mind that in the next decade, the whole thing's going to fall apart. I'm thinking, I don't think it's going to take a decade, number one.
Not anymore.
And number two, the thing is, when it goes, when it happens, it's going to be like over a weekend. You ain't going to be seeing it coming. I thought it was interesting that Sarkozy, whatever it is, France.
Sarkozy.
You know, yeah, whatever. Eh bien. He,
Bredo Stico.
That's right.
Bredo Stico.
That is Italian.
I know.
That's Italian. Come on, man.
It's Pao Stico. No, it's, so anyway, but he came out and said, Dollar number one, pretty much.
Right.
And
who did that?
Yeah, Sarkozy.
Have you seen
his wife? He said, we're not about to leave. And everything. Well, let me tell you something.
As soon as everybody starts saying they're not about to leave.
Exactly. I mean, that is,
that's going to be the cue.
No, rockets go up, bells go off, alarm, ding, ding, ding.
And cats and dogs living together, total chaos.
And of course, our guy will be the last one. The last guy to say it's not going to change will be... It'll be the head of the Fed guy. It'll be either Geithner or it'll be I don't know if Bernanke's still on the.
Bernanke's still there.
Okay, so one of those two guys is going to be the one that comes out and says, "All right, no, don't worry, we're not changing."
And it'll be on Friday.
We're not changing interest rates.
It'll be on Friday. There'll be
probably a holiday weekend.
Could very well be.
They love holiday weekends.
They do.
They beam up.
I don't understand why he hadn't already gone. I mean, seriously, if I was in his shoes with that kind of money,
the guy right there he's a double.
Ah, the doppelganger.
Yeah, no, no way. He's like the James Bond, the one-eyed guy. You know, he had three or four of them.
Right. Yeah, the guy with the cat. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
What's his name? Yeah,
Blofeld. Before he dumped him into the drink.
The big chimney chute.
Right. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That was the second dump. He dumped him into like the vat.
What else we got?
I did want to mention that last night we went over to see Ray Kurzweil.
Yes.
He gave a very lengthy.
And he's a keyboard guy. Whatever.
Well, yes, keyboard, but he's also a futurist, and he's been in the TED thing.
I expected way more.
The problem was we've read the book.
Yes. No, we're freaking early adopters.
Well, no, we read
were
all the books.
No, we were no. The problem is literally it was word for word, phrase for phrase, right out of the book.
Right. Yeah.
And to the I talked to the people sitting next to me, and they said, well, I heard, you know, I saw it in the paper and thought maybe I'd come over and see who this guy is. You know, well, for them maybe.
Right. No, they must have loved it.
There were 1,700 of them.
Oh yeah,
right. that showed
standing
up.
Room
they ran out
they
of
ran
tickets
out, yeah. and out of free tickets.
Yeah,
you know, as you said, it was sold out. Well, it wasn't selling anything. But no. Actually, we showed up a little bit late, and it wasn't for the gracious of some, you know, college pukes that showed up a little bit later, and they gave us. They said,
"No,
we guys want a ticket. We're about to leave."
No,
they
we
said,
were literally, yeah. and they're like, you know, two masters of engineering, computer science. You know, like
wow.
you know,
no, that was, and he was repetitive for us.
Yeah,
he was repetitive, and it was old. A lot of it was very old stuff.
You know, one of these days we're going to go to the a conference like that, and people are going to have stuff like, you know, you'll be sitting there, and like a little antenna will go up out of somebody's like pocket or lap or something, and then it'll scan everybody or something, or they'll say, oh, look, everybody, look over to the left, and now we're going to take a picture. You know, we're going to a live broadcast.
So metaphorically. My antenna did come up at that, because did you see some of the hot girls that were in there? And I'm not talking about just the Asians and the Indian chicks. I mean, there was actually some
hot American-looking girls
in there, you know. And I was like,
the Russians, you mean? There were some Russians in
man, the IQ in that room was like bubbling up towards, you know, water bubbling.
There was three Germans and a Russian in it.
So Kurzweil didn't set up a big keyboard and play Bohemian Rhapsody.
No. It was all about the future stuff. It was all about this. Singularity, and it was about his book. Singularity
which we have on our Amazon wish list.
We'll put a link to it
or Amazon book list. Anyway, but yes, definitely. But it was kind of cool. I got to hang out with him a little bit after the show, and he signed my book, and
he
I got a nice picture
one
with him.
Burned one with him.
Burned one with him. Where are you going to hang out, man?
So I talked about the old days.
Yeah, we
didn't
talked
he
about,
used to tour
actually,
with
I
the
did,
dad?
I told him, I said that I used to work at Guitar Center in Hollywood in 1990, and I said it was really cool because we had one of your K250s in there. It was a big old, you know, sampling keyboard. I mean, this thing was like $250,000 new, and, you know, it was one of the first ones out. And he goes, 91, huh? It must have been used. And I said, yeah, it was Stevie Nicks's from Fleetwood Mac. I go, but it was still cool to play with, man. I mean,
that's geez, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that I did find a contradictory or something that I couldn't quite understand, he talked about in there, as he does with Age Spiritual Machines and in this Singularity Is Near, about the acceleration, exponential acceleration of knowledge and how we're going to get into outer space. You know, he talks about what the word was. He calls the way we're going to be so smart and so small and everything. It's like the way we colonize the other worlds.
Okay.
Well, he was talking about the fact that, you know, we're going to have machines a billion times smarter than we have our cell phones now, than the size of a blood vessel.
Right. But my point is that you'll be able to send something that's a billion times smarter than a human, you know, that weighs an ounce. You know, and it can basically, it's us, you know, right, to colonize space. And I forget, he had a word for it. I don't know, something cyber, something, whatever. But he was basically talking about, didn't mention it a whole lot, but he did talk about an Age of Spiritual Machines. And also in this latest book,
Singularity Is Near.
That's the culmination of all this in 100 years or whatever is, or 200 years, is that we move out and really expand our knowledge base all over the universe. Well, my question is this: in the trillions of stars that are out there, there's probably trillions of M-class planets and different galaxies and so forth, and there's got to be at least one or two of them that are, you know, like 152 years ahead of us.
Yeah.
Where are those people?
Oh yeah.
Where are those things? They would have already. You'd think. I mean, think about it.
Before you finish that statement, I actually saw one two nights ago. I forgot to tell you guys. I actually did see a UFO two nights ago.
Knocked on your door?
Okay, what? I'm not talking about necessarily so much about the UFOs, because what he's talking about is something a lot smaller than that, number one. But even so...
Hey, you know, maybe you want to, like, retain your big self.
Well, maybe, but I'm telling you, one part of me I'd want big, I say that. That's for
you
sure.
You see, and maybe it's attached to the other part. Maybe you don't want to be like a molecule with this huge, you know, sausage.
Remember,
it was
George Carlin that said, let's get small.
Well, now, see, here's the thing.
My point is this.
Something slightly off about that evolution, that particular evolution metaphor, and that is that he's assuming that that the biological unit of the human, because of the nature of the graph, that is to say, because it's destined and doomed to evolve its thinking capacity, that it's not going to be and look like a monkey in a short period of time. In other words, it's going to be a spacecraft of some technological silicon
unit.
No, that's not exactly what he said. He said you could look like yourself, but actually have like a billion times more intelligence, and you would be.
But the whole point is you'd
mechanical.
Be a machine, right?
Right, and mostly mechanical.
Right, but the whole my.
Hey man, pass the joint here. Pass the joint.
Yeah, here.
Didn't you see Star Wars Episode 2 with Grievous? You know, he had this little bit of of a heart and a brain, but he was like all like mechanical things.
Right now. And of course, now that's not a problem. But my point is that the monkey will still be there because the monkey's not going to evolve biologically any faster than at the same rate that he's assuming the mental evolution is going to take place.
Right. Okay. Andrew, what's your point?
So it's not going to be a little tiny microbe like you were talking about.
Oh,
it's
going
to be a monkey attached to a bunch of microbes.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
It could be.
Cares?
I mean, he did make it clear. You don't really know what it's going to do.
Right.
But his main point was that the rate we're multiplying our brain power, that we'll be able to know the brain in another place here. Yeah. Simulate 100% simulation of the brain.
2029.
Yeah, 2029 is his big time when you'll be able to actually be able to
simulate a human brain.
Simulate 100%, everything, emotions, everything. And they talk about, emotions are really the same thing as this, that, and they go through a whole lot of stuff.
I disagreed with that.
Well, I understand. We'll find out in 2029.
If it's 2075, who cares?
If that's the case, the people that are going to invent that are already born.
Right.
Right.
But, and they, again, you have to, I don't want to go through and, the book is 900 pages long, so I'm not going to cover it all today. But the point is that, point was this. It would seem as though we would not only, you say you saw a UFO. I mean, give me a break. I can tell you that if, no matter how smart I was, if I was sitting over a planet like this one, I mean, I'd drift on in and have some good times or do something.
Hell yeah.
I'd show up on the White House lawn and, going on some, farmer with a bib overall in the backyard with
that'd be a violation of the Prime Directive.
That may be. That may be.
Okay.
I think I'd be violating that right away, too.
Right. And just to clarify,
I squashed a couple ants today.
Hey, Jack, what is this we've been smoking all night?
And just to clarify what I saw, I just want to tell you so I don't get any extra emails about what did I see. I'll tell you exactly. Right. It looked like the space station flying over. If anybody's seen it, you know exactly what it was. Big star coming over.
Right,
all of a sudden, it started to dim. A lot, and all of a sudden it seemed like it was either climbing in altitude like a ridiculous pace, or it was just dimming. But anyway, it slowed and then it stopped and it turned around and about if you were holding out a pencil to your at your arm.
Oh, well, he was looking at you.
It turned around.
You were looking at it
about that radius.
Hey, and, that guy's looking at us.
And to do that,
hey, stop the spaceship!
Right, and then it came back the other way.
Hey, let's fuck with him.
And then it dimmed out.
Okay,
it did.
Hey, turn the ship lights off.
Here's what I don't
turn
understand.
Turn the ship lights on and off real quick a few times.
Right. Flick, flick.
Play a couple bars of Locomotive Breath.
Here's what I don't understand, Eric.
Yes.
Here's what I don't understand. Where was your green laser?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't actually own any more green lasers. That's
green
unbelievable.
Laser.
Well, if anybody would like to donate one to me.
You can take mine, because next time you see it, I want you to blink at them.
Blast it! Blast it!
Well, actually, I want a lot more powerful
great, Jimmy.
Green lasers.
Start an intergalactic war.
They'd be able to see that. If you hit him with it.
Man, start an intergalactic war, Jimmy.
That's right.
No, they'd probably just nail him.
Use the force, Luke.
Yeah.
You.
All right, well, so anyway, that's the...
That's the show!
Well, pretty close.
No, this is going to be part one here.
Oh, part one.
Unless you guys want to... Let's do part two, man. I mean, whatever.
Part two, well, let's say... Well, okay.
I don't have much for part two.
Don't you have any... I mean, we got Bart stuff, we got,
I didn't download much of Bart stuff except the guy masturbating.
Well, that's still good.
No, he was watching Harry Potter, for God's sakes. He's jerking off in the back of the theater.
Who wouldn't jerk off to Emma Watson, for crying out loud?
That was the deal. Apparently she has
She's hotter than piss, man. Well,
I know,
she's hotter than boiling monkey piss on the head of a laser beam.
Somebody dialed 911 and they arrested his ass.
Right.
For indecent exposure. I'm thinking, it's a dark theater. What kind of exposure is there?
Right, yeah. Not a lot unless you're looking for it, which means you're gay.
Yeah, you're totally.
Unless you're a female projectionist.
I don't know.
What's the story? What was the story that he wanted us to talk about?
He was talking about the lethal injection. There's a guy in Oklahoma that's supposed to be put to death tomorrow, and they ran out of sodium whatever something or another, and they can't get any more for 8 months. The cocktail that they put together.
Yeah.
The certified, guaranteed, legal.
Oh, so they're
going
to use the animal drug,
right?
They're going to put him down.
Right. Oh, well, his lawyer, needless to say, everybody's filed suit, you know, and they're talking about Eighth Amendment here. You know, cruel and unusual. I'm thinking, well, you know, it's interesting. You'd think that the animal lovers would be all over the euthanasia thing. If it was cruel and unusual, you know, the
PETA. Yeah, they are, though. I know some of the animal people who are like, they just hate the Humane Society and the.
How do you kill a dog, though, when it's in pain like that?
Right. What do you mean? You feed it ice cream and stuff.
And then you give it the shot.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Then you got to give it the shot.
Do you sort of scream in agony until it dies for the next couple of days?
What scream in agony?
No.
Sometimes, you know.
No. Yeah, we're
sometimes?
We're getting ready to give our big dog a shot.
No, Bella.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We're planning it out. So.
No.
Yeah, and she'll get ice cream and all that stuff. But then she's gonna get the shot.
But but my point is that they've said that the consensus among a lot of people is Judge Napolitano or whatever it is, libertarian judge, he said, yeah, you need to wait 8 months. It doesn't seem right to go ahead and use the.
Oh. I thought you got to give him the stuff and then he waits 8 months. No, I'm just kidding.
No. They said wait for the cocktail stuff to show up. Apparently they're out of sodium pentothal or they can't get it or it's made in Japan or I don't know what it is or
right.
India or someplace. Slow boat, not here yet.
Slow boat.
Well, I mean, I guess they've been having so many. What's surprising to me is I didn't realize we were having all that many executions.
They
would run out of the chemical.
There's a shortage.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is it? They can't use a gallon a year of whatever it is. You know, I mean, God almighty.
Maybe there's a lot we don't know about.
I guess. Yeah, that's true, too.
Could be.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, I think part of the thing was, why can't we just shoot them?
There are certainly plenty of viable candidates.
9 cents solution.
I mean, it wasn't cruel in the old days when they just blasted you.
Or they took you out.
Where are you getting a good bullet for 9 cents?
I take a gunshot over a hanging, though.
Oh, yeah, man.
It's at least a buck for a good bullet.
Yeah, the old firing squad's not, you know. Yeah.
Biggest gun, like, you'd stick your head inside.
Well, you do the
cannon.
Firing squad. You do this. Clean off.
That's right.
Stick your head inside of a can. Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
No, didn't see it at all. The pain was extremely momentary.
Did I get him?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you wouldn't want him to look down the barrel. You'd have to back him up a little bit.
Right. Sit right in front of it.
Yeah, that's it.
The Klingon way is you face your death, man.
Face it.
Look at the barrel. You look down there.
Klingon way.
Yeah.
Well, screw that, man.
Kapla!
Yeah, kapla!
Success.
Game over, man.
Game over.
So you guys see that?
I didn't realize Chet was in Predator 2, but he was great in that.
Yeah. I thought you knew that.
Yeah, I forget, man. He's in everything.
Yeah, Chet's
man.
He's been around quite a bit.
He's like an amoeba.
Well, yeah, now he's the dad on Big Love.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that is.
That's the Mormon show.
I don't know what I mean.
You haven't seen it? That's so weird, Jimmy. It's a total drama, just like you'd watch. You know, it's like a family show Like yeah. something you'd see on Lifetime or something.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. I'm big on those. That's
right.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, last time I saw your DVR, it was all recorded up with all that stuff.
No, it's recorded. I don't think so.
Yeah. Can I get a ruling on that?
Super yoga things. Right. I saw that on there.
Oh, which reminds me, we did get the. Did you watch the DVDs? The Star Wars 2?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
Palpatine Bepadon.
Yeah. The I got from Netflix the. What is it? The
Robot Chicken.
Robot
Star
Chicken
Wars.
Star Wars. It's and the DVD is much better than the on TV. They got it. It's enhanced and they put extra stuff in it. And there's like 30 or 40 minutes for each one of them, right?
It's absolutely. If you have not seen that, you must actually go rent it, whether from Blockbusters or Netflix. But
There's two of them.
Yeah, there's two separate ones and
two separate DVDs.
And again, on Comedy Channel or whatever they air them on, it's only or Cartoon Network or whatever. They're only 15 minutes a piece, so you got to tape several of them,
right,
to get it.
But
if you get the DVD, it's
all continuous.
It is.
They leave some stuff in that apparently they take out on the TV.
No.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Hard to believe. All right, so we got some light notes. Did you see this orange alligator? Saw this news.
Orange alligator. Some dude,
college prank, probably. And this wasn't a small. We're talking real alligator here, just a little south of us here. Probably, I mean, eight to 10 foot alligator here.
No, he's like 6 feet.
Well, whatever.
Still
big enough.
Six is
so apparently a prank, but someone completely spray painted him orange. The entire body,
not just blue, just orange.
Orange and a heck of an orange and stuff. So grandma,
I thought that was that guy must get in to the frat. You know,
he gets in.
You get in. Man.
Took a picture of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in. No, okay. He spray painted him and then took a picture.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, yeah, you're in.
With the film crew that
come on in, brother.
Right.
No, I don't know anything else that's funny because
there
hadn't been too much funny stuff. The only other thing I mentioned is that recently I found a new...
Killing, debt ceiling.
I found a new person that has really good stuff. This guy named Ralph Raico, R-A-I-C-O. He's on the Mises Institute, which is on iTunes. Right. And he's got a whole bunch of very good audio things. And if you get a chance, you ought to do that.
We'll put a link to it.
And Ayn Rand, it turns out, I didn't realize this the other day, but The Virtue of Selfishness, which is really fabulous, essays, lengthy... several essays, actually. I didn't realize this, but it's you can get a PDF of it for free if you just Google Ayn Rand Virtue of Selfishness. It's a freebie.
Or we'll put a link to it.
And it is really worth reading, especially the part where she talks about racism. And this is written in 1962. And it is, honest to God, for something that was written 45 years ago, it is unbelievable how good it is. Oh, and the other thing that I was re-listening to again, that everybody should probably memorize is Alexis de Tocqueville and the Democracy in America. And in his second volume, I don't know, a couple of the chapters in there, he talks about the way things are. And it's just interesting to, when you realize that how the country was founded, what it was, Madison, and you know, all this is de Tocqueville, his, you know, view on things. And up until about Lincoln, it was amazing how we did pretty well in a lot of respects and with almost no government. And, you know, after that, of course, it got really strong under the Civil War, which is, there's a lot of, when you read Tom Woods, of course, that was, you realize what a tyrant Lincoln was. But once again, we found out that Harding, our favorite president, one of our favorite presidents, what was the other thing? I sent you a link on that. What did he do?
Yeah, he freed,
Oh, yeah, Eugene Debs.
Right.
He pardoned Eugene Debs.
Right.
We were talking about speech earlier.
Who's Eugene Debs?
I'm going to tell you. He was a socialist candidate for president for like 20 times or something. I mean, from 1896 until 1924, he ran every time for the Socialist Party for president. And he was a committed socialist. Okay, that's fine. But what he did was, in 1918 or something, he got up on a stage and said, "Damn the draft. You know, this conscription is illegal, and you shouldn't fight this war for World War One." And Wilson, basically, and his minions had him arrested. There was the Alien Sedition Acts around the turn of the century before that, there were some laws that said you can't disagree with the government, essentially. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison for this, for saying that you shouldn't be part of the draft. It was, as far as he was concerned, you shouldn't join and you should resist and so forth. For that, he was given 20 years. And then, of course, the war ended, And they went up to Wilson and they said, you know, you need to pardon this guy. War's over. You know, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
And he
wouldn't.
Said no.
And he said no. Right. So our friend Harding in 1921, just before he appointed Justice Sutherland, our favorite justice to the Supreme Court, pardoned Eugene Debs, you know, for this horrible hate speech or whatever it was about. What I'm saying is it can happen again, and we're seeing it.
It can happen
to
you.
That is the scary part, is that they actually...
some other guy.
You know, that they did, they jailed a lot of people during the First World War for speech against the government. And I don't know...
I'm surprised the four of us aren't sitting in the cell somewhere right now.
Well, we are.
Actually,
in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to move the studio to outer space.
Absolutely.
And then, in fact,
that Make magazine that just came out was really, really cool. They had a great bunch of articles on there on how to make an iPhone satellite. You know.
Yeah. If any of our listeners out there want to make an iPhone satellite,
please contact us.
Right.
Or send us your money.
No, the main thing is send money.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. We're ready to make one.
A couple more light notes here.
I just wanted to say that in case you do want to see the Ray Kurzweil thing, you can, February 13th in San Jose, February 16th, 17th in Los Angeles, March 10th in D.C., March 21st in Boston. Let's see, April 4th and 5th in London, which could be Bernie, you know, or Mike.
Little bangers and mash.
Or maybe Ali Murdoch if we ever hear from him again.
Get pissed in a pot.
I had to mention this, man. Pasco County, Florida. 15 Pasco County nude dancers have dates in courts after a lunchtime roundup.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Yeah.
The cops went into the strip club.
The best part was three hours.
Before
arresting the women Thursday, the undercover deputies watched nude dancers on stage, bought them some drinks, and received some lap dances.
On our dime.
Awesome. At noon. And it's like, you know, this is a 14-month study
They had to get the evidence.
They had to collect the evidence. They didn't call you
Can you imagine? The girl goes out there, and she's going at it. She's giving the lap dance the best she's ever given.
Right.
At about the time, you know, she's all sweaty and everything, and he whips out his badge. Let's go, honey.
It's kind of a downer.
A downer? Are you kidding?
Didn't even tip her.
And I think that's pretty much all we got.
That was a good show. First of the year. You know, we're oozing back into it.
Yeah, we
get
back.
Here at the Jimmy Doan Show. It's jimmydoan.com.
There's a new kind of Segway scooter.
Join the donation.
Let me put a link to that.
The link to that.
There you go. Segway scooter. Well, it kind of transformed from a Segway into an actual motorcycle.
Well, remember what happened to Segway, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was a dude who was, like, owning Segway
right.
or something.
What happened?
Fell off the cliff.
He drove one off a bridge.
No.
Yeah. And died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy is sitting here with his mouth open.
We talked about it before. Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah, Jimmy, you talked about it. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's tragic.
Well, thanks for joining us.
And some other
Jack.
Some other guy made a funny comment about the Janet Napolitano or whatever reports suspicious activity at Walmart. And he goes, yeah, I'd like to report your suspicious activity at Walmart. You know? Like Big Brother kind of
right.
If you've ever seen that People
Man,
of
don't
Walmart
do that,
website, you'll know there's always suspicious activity going on at Walmart.
Let me tell you, the suspicious activity is you show up in a suit and tie.
That's right.
You know, that's right. I got a newsflash for you. Look, some of that stuff is.
That's right.
It is.
Well, hey, I got news for you out there, too. Don't be a reporter. Hey, but you only one step away. I mean, you call the people to report something suspicious. You're on the phone with them.
Say what? I'm confused about that. I didn't get that.
If you call a reporter, you're being recorded, right?
We'll put a link to it. Yeah, exactly. The whole point is. Sometimes people who report the crimes end up being the ones who are arrested.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. You're a person of suspect.
Yeah. So you witnessed this crime? You were there?
It's kind of like he who smelt it dealt it.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Right. He smelt it. To put it in 1980 terms.
No, that's from the 50s and 60s.
It depends on how old you are, really. It's really seven-year-old term, I think.
1850s and 60s.
Yeah, 18.
Socrates.
All right.
So
thank
crazy.
You much. Da Vinci.
Thou who smelt the Oda.
See you next
must
time.
Must have dispensed the Oda.
On the Jimmy Jones Show.
Love you guys.